You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 1st, 2020, and I remind you again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, all one word. And that will open up a page, you push live, and you're in the studio with us. And reminding you, any programs you missed, you can always go to that same page and watch them, or hear the audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com for the podcast. So Senator Richard Blumenthal, which we're going to hear from in more detail in the next segment, is insisting that right now gun violence protection is going to be on the ballot in the upcoming midterm election. He said things feel different this time around than it did in previous shootings. He said, we never before have had Democrats and Republicans talking seriously about meaningful efforts and proposals that will make Americans safer and save lives. Now, what they're doing, we're still not sure. We're hearing different proposals, and red flag laws are part of them. I spent a lot of time in the last hour talking about red flag laws and how they'd be enacted if it's a federal level. Some 19 states already have one version or another of them. The main thing to keep in mind about red flag laws is if you suspect someone is a mental case and they have guns, and I mean they're truly mental, acting weird, then you call police and they will come and take all the guns. And that person cannot even appeal until after the guns are taken. If it's a legit situation, yes. But if it's just a neighbor or an ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, or a scorned lover of some type, or just someone wanting to make your life miserable, the red flag laws are going to be more trouble than they're worth in the sense that they're not really going to stop anything. There is talk, of course, of what are we going to do to harden the schools? That's another big issue. All right. But the Biden White House, and I'm reading from the White House, they are reacting to a proposal from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican, Kentucky, for a bill to strengthen school security. The White House, according to the new White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who, of course, was they made a big deal of, I'm just repeating what they did, she is the first black lesbian woman to serve as a White House press spokesman. Other than that, she has shown no qualifications. But if you had to be black and lesbian, well, then she made that qualification. But she said there are two things the president does not agree on. Those two things. One is increasing school safety being one of them. She said, I know there's been a conversation about hardening schools. That's not something he believes in. No, he wants more gun control, as do all Democrats. In the meantime, in California, they have a Senate bill that's going to allow schools to let teachers, students, faculty be attacked by other students, and they don't have to report to police. There was a law where they would have to report it. Now they're going to pass a bill and say, no, you don't need to call police. Why? Why? Well, because of wokeness. They say, unfortunately, what happens, the marginalized groups, black, indigenous, Latinx, and disability students with disabilities are often ones that have an encounter with police because of that, and then they end up not graduating. I guess the Asian students are fine with being talked to by police, then they get to graduate. They're not included in that list. They are in New York City in the subway system going to put in scanners looking for weapons before you board. Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, admitting I was wrong about inflation. No kidding. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail this next hour as well. And the U.S. Marine Corps, never mind, I don't have time for it right now. I'll do it before this end of the hour. What they are doing, I'm livid. But I want to share this with you. Three-time PGA Tour winner Bart Bryan died in a car wreck at the age of 59. Three-time PGA Tour winner. By the way, he beat Tiger Woods by 6 strokes to win the 2005 PGA Tour Championship. But unfortunately, has died in an accident. No other details are available. Stand by for our segment on gun control issues.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This time really does feel different because of those shouts. Do something. I've heard them for the last 3 days, 4 days that I've been in Connecticut as I went to Memorial Day ceremonies and parades. And there is something about how America has reacted and how shaken my colleagues have been. We've never before had 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans, as we do right now, talking seriously about substantive and meaningful efforts and proposals that will make America safer and save lives.
Well, I'm all about saving lives, but I do worry about what kind of proposals they're going to come up with. And I will remind you again, being a proposal doesn't mean it's going to become law. But it's good they're talking about what we can do to avoid another Uvalde. And, of course, if the Democrats have their way, it will culminate in more and more gun control, which will not necessarily solve anything, and it will put a heavier burden or absolutely strip weapons of the Second Amendment from law-abiding citizens. I cannot stress it enough. We have more guns in this country than we do people. If guns were the issue, we would know that. We mentioned earlier in the last segment that even Texas Governor Abbott stated, following Uvalde, he said, I don't know, we've got you could raise the age limit, that's what you think you want to do, but we got kids all across this country, this state, and have for 60 years that are able to buy rifles and shotguns, which they are. It's not just the AK-47. It's any other rifle or shotgun. Now, when they talk about a bipartisan meeting, Senator John Cornyn of Texas is among the Republicans that are in that. And they are looking for ways, obviously, but that would also include hardening schools. Now, there have been some developments that are still unraveling, but I want to share this with you. First of all, let me remind you that the funerals continue in Uvalde. 19 children, two teachers, all killed by that one gunman. And I don't know of another town that would be in so much grief in this nation. The only other town in the world that might be facing such grief now might be towns in Ukraine after what they've gone through. But here we have children and parents who sent them off. I struggle and I certainly pray for them, but I cannot imagine my child not coming home from school when they were that age, or that they would face that kind of danger. So I don't dismiss out of hand any talk about any gun control that would be sensible and actually have a true effect without destroying the Second Amendment and without making law-abiding citizens guilty of simply owning a weapon. So these funerals have been going on, the funerals, the visitations, and they continue. Here's a change that has unfolded. The other day, the story was, and again, that was based upon what the DPS was telling us. Now, when Governor Abbott held his first meeting, and he read a statement as to how this had gone down, I told you then that Governor Abbott had that information provided to him. He didn't write it. He didn't know if any of it was fact or not. He took whatever was gathered and given to him, and someone compiled it, and he was just trying to help share information. And I've told you that in things of this nature, you're going to find out a lot of information is either wrong or got exaggerated or simply made up. Or someone thought they saw what they say they saw, but they really didn't. So Abbott has been upset because a lot of what he reported the other day turned out to be not correct. I mean, he was furious, and rightly so. You gave this for me to read to the people of the state of Texas and the nation, and a lot of it turned out to be wrong. Well, even the Department of Public Safety director, when he issued a timeline yesterday with more detail than what had seen before, included a remark in part of the timeline that at a certain time, and I don't have it all here in front of me, but a teacher went out a back door, propped it open to go get a phone from her car, came back, left the back door propped open, and that's where the gunman entered. He just happened to run to that door or tried other doors and couldn't get in, or maybe he found that and that was the first one he found. That we still don't know yet either. But what they're saying, now they're saying that the teacher did prop the door open, but she closed it once she realized the shooter was on the campus, but the door did not lock. That's according to Associated Press. And the Department of Public Safety press secretary confirms that that information is correct. And, of course, they're still trying to deal with the questions why at least 80 minutes elapsed from the time the officers were first called to the time a tactical team entered that locked classroom and got to the shooter. CNN did try to corner the sheriff to get a public statement from him as he came back to the station after being visiting with some officers, and he was polite enough and declining, saying, "I'm focusing on the families right now." And the reporter was saying, "Don't you feel guilty? Don't you feel, I mean, you know, of course he feels guilty. It's like asking a mother after her child has died, how do you feel?" The worst questions that so many reporters have built their career on. I mean, I don't know how many times I had to tell reporters, if you use the answer, you take your question out so you don't look that calloused. And sometimes people do want to talk about it. So there is a therapeutic effect for some. But let's be honest, when a reporter's asking the question, we're not looking to provide therapy. We're trying to get answers. So the House Judiciary Committee, the House I'm talking about, plans to vote as soon as tomorrow on a wide-ranging gun control legislation. It would raise the lawful age from 18 to 21, establish new federal offenses for gun trafficking. We already have federal offenses. What else are you going to add to it? Then they're going to look at large capacity magazines again. And they're going to allow local governments to compensate anyone who turns back such magazines in a buyback program. A tax credit for the sale of safe storage devices. If you buy one, you get a tax credit. All part of the Protecting Our Kids Act. Sounds good, but will it affect anything? And inside of that also are red flag laws, and dealing with red flag laws, the value and the ability of them and how well they would affect. Let's go once again to Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut.
The main proposals, from my standpoint, involve red flag laws. I've written a law with Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Republican, and I have a statute that we've proposed which would separate people from guns if they say they're going to kill themselves or somebody else if they're dangerous. And an extension of background checks would be very meaningful.
All right, you want to extend the gun background checks. If they're carried out properly, that everything should be done fine now anyway. That is, if they're carried out properly. And, yeah, I have no problem with taking a gun from somebody who's mentally unstable. They shouldn't have it. But then the red flag law allows someone just to report and claim they're mental when maybe they're not. And the person calling police is, they're the mental case, or they're angry at the other person, a scorned lover or whatever it would be, and the police would then act on that to go to your house and collect your guns. You don't get them back until you go through a court process and prove I'm perfectly sane. Are there people that shouldn't have guns? Yes. And it doesn't have to be a mental case. It could be someone who is careless and they do not properly keep that weapon away from kids. Sleeping with it under your pillow. I don't know how many times I've covered stories where a young child will find a pistol under a pillow and it's chambered and they pull the trigger and that's it for them or a sibling or maybe the father or mother. There was a story years ago where a highway patrolman would come home from work, take off his Sam Brown belt, basically what they call the holster and the cartridge and handcuff carrier, the whole thing, take it off and put it on top of the fridge. On top of the fridge. He had a 3-year-old in the house. But he put it all on top of the fridge, and all officers carry their weapons chambered because they might need to use them at a moment's notice, which that's okay, but you still have to be careful in holding it, using it, and storing it. He put it on top of the fridge. He's got a 3-year-old. There's no 3-year-old that can reach the top of the fridge. But the officer was woken early the next morning when he heard a loud bang. The 3-year-old had gotten up for breakfast, pushed a chair over to the fridge, got up on the chair, and found a way to get hold of the belt, just reach it, who knows, just by enough to pull it off the fridge, and it fell to the floor. And then he went to pick up the pistol, and it went off, killing him. Now, how's that father going to live with that the rest of his life? How's this police chief? How are these officers who were there, maybe those who wanted to go in and were stopped from going in, or who had kids in there, or it's a small community. Everybody tends to almost know everyone. What are they going to do? So there was a question from MSNBC to Blumenthal about this health issue and the red flag laws. I want you to hear the question and the response.
While the whole nation could likely benefit from increased access to mental health, I definitely agree with that. Is that really the key issue when it comes to gun violence? Because I know there's a 2018 FBI report on active shooters found that only 25% of shooters between the years of 2000 to 2013 had confirmed diagnosable mental illness. Do you consider the topic of mental health in these talks about gun reform a red herring?
Not a red herring, because the country needs more mental health care. We're in a mental health crisis right now, partly as a result of the pandemic and partly because of factors that existed before.
Yeah, and open borders, inflation, everything else. There are a lot of factors that are making people crazy and upset. When we come back on the other side, I want you to hear from Senator Blumenthal again, reference raising the age to buy the AR-15. The value of it or lack of value? And you're already thinking, does he not know how young some of our young men and women are who volunteered to be in the armed forces? Stand by, please.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, first of all, I think you've got to be able to talk about the AR-15 style weapons and whether that's an 18 or 21 age. You have to at least have a conversation about that. That's tough because the challenge with the gun safety discussion is what makes a difference. And whenever you look at what might make a difference, it's hard to come up with a solution. As a governor, America wants to see, in a bipartisan way, this kind of discussion going on, looking for solutions that make a difference. I hope to be able to mirror that as a governor, and that we can have a bipartisan working group of governors also looking at this issue and how we can do better for our children.
That was Governor Asa Hutchinson, Republican of Arkansas. I mistakenly said you were going to hear Senator Blumenthal on that issue. He had already discussed it. I got mixed up. What can I say? I went south. But that was Governor Hutchinson making it very clear that if you're going to lower the age, you're going to make it an 18 or 21 or whatever you're going to do about it. And he said it's tough because is it going to make a difference? In other words, are you just passing a law to say, this is what we did? And I think he's right about that. He said, it is hard to come up with a solution. And especially the bottom line is it actually going to accomplish anything? See, there are a lot of politicians that are willing to say, I passed this, but it doesn't really mean anything. And nobody cares. Nobody does anything with it. It just finally just evaporates. But they can say, I did this. Well, if it has some meaning, then it's worthwhile doing so. So when it comes to the age, Governor Asa Hutchinson again pointing out that we need to have a conversation about it, but whether or not we come up with anything that will make a difference, that's got to be decided. The other thing, as he was saying, and you're going to hear him say that the school protocol for safety at Uvalde didn't work. Now, when he did his interview, he was basing it upon this premise that we'd all been given. A teacher went out a back door, had propped it open when she went out. so she could get back in easily. And when she came back, she left the door propped open. Now we know that's not the fact that she, well, let me put it this way. We're told now that that's not the fact. That could change. She closed the door, especially when she heard there's a shooter. So maybe it's still open up until that time. And then it wouldn't lock. I mean, there's still a lot of questions about it. But his response is based on the fact that a door was propped open with the understanding he had been given at that point when it comes to making schools safer.
You cannot just simply focus on a gun safety discussion. It's got to also be about investment in higher levels of school safety. Now, it didn't work very well in Uvalde, but they didn't follow the guidebook either, and what it appears to be. And so that's an extraordinary tragedy that's driving the discussion today as it should.
Yeah, hardening schools. Well, when it came to that issue from the White House just yesterday, they were being asked about a proposal from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, the White House press secretary, for a legislative response dealing with mental illness and school safety. The White House press secretary said, and I'm quoting her, "Those are two things that he, the president, does not agree on." He doesn't agree on dealing with a mental illness or hardening the schools. She also dismissed proposed legislation on mental health issues, focusing instead on the pandemic of gun violence in the U.S., as she said. What the problem is here, the problem is with guns and not having legislation really deal with an issue that is a pandemic here in this country. But the president is not focused on hardening schools. It's not something he believes in. Their purpose and their intent is simply to strip guns from law-abiding citizens. And how crazy and brazen and shameless should you be when you stand on the coffins of kids and say, we want to take your guns away from you? That's pretty much what they're doing. Coming up, the woman who should know everything when it comes to economics, our Treasury Secretary, says, pretty much, I know nothing.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling wild lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling wild lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to play for you what you said about inflation last year. Listen to this.
Is there a risk of inflation? I think there's a small risk, and I think it's manageable. I don't anticipate that inflation is going to be a problem, but it is something that we're watching very carefully.
Yeah. We're watching and we're still watching. You're watching the gas meter go up and up and around and around and around, and there are reports that some service stations are trying to reconfigure not only their pumps, but their signage, the large signs out in front of the station, even if it's a digital sign to indicate the price per gallon, because they're going to have to add more numbers. It won't be something like three numbers. They're going to need four numbers per gallon of gas. It's not the $3.99 or $4.99. It's going to go bigger. And I remind you that wasn't that long ago, during the Trump administration, when we were paying $2.50 an average. What are you paying now? Another $3, $4, and it's going to get worse. And that was Wolf Blitzer of CNN, asking a legitimate question, well, actually posing, saying, I want you to listen to what you predicted previously. And there was Janet Yellen herself, our Treasury Secretary, our secretary treasurer, whatever you want to call her, basically saying, it's not going to be bad. We'll be watching, but it's not going to be bad. We'll be able to control it. We'll know what we're doing. You have no idea what you're doing. She's on the government teat. She doesn't pay for her gas. When she travels somewhere, it's with the Secret Service, as it should be. I'm not denying that. And you are helping. Your gas price just went up. Not just what you're paying to put into your car, but into every government official's car that has a government car or provided to him or her. So you're not just paying the gas increase for your car. Have you stopped to think about it? You're paying to fill up their tanks as well. And, of course, then you get someone like Senator Elizabeth Warren the other day says, well, what we need to do that we've got to deal with these people that are price gouging. These gas companies and the gas stores and stations, they're price gouging you. You do know that's why the signs are out there. So they can advertise, there's a station right across the corner, and if they can show they're 2 to 4 cents lower than they are, then you're going to get more traffic. They're not trying to gouge you. They're trying to get you to come in. But everybody right now is at such a high price, they can't. They're not raising the price on you. That's the pure fact. Economic demand and supply, which as a Treasury Secretary, you think you would know. I took in college. Well, first of all, I'll go back to third grade because you all know I've told this story numerous times before. But just in case you're new and you're watching us right now at rumble.com, yes, we live stream at rumble.com, all the programs, and we're on the air live, and put them up on Rumble later, in addition to the podcast of the actual program. But I've often said in the third grade we had real math. Real math. And I remember that distinctly because we had it in the third grade, and that third grade was the longest 3 years of my life. That's how bad I was at math. But even I knew that this was going to be a disaster the way we were running things. And it was going to get worse, not better. Now, fast forward, I'm in college. And believe it or not, I decided to take a business course, not a business math course. Oh, I did take accounting. That's the only class I ever flunked in my life, accounting. And that's because I gambled everything on being able to pass the test. I fell behind the workbook because I was putting my way through school and just, I was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. But I did. And I graduated, BS in political science. You hear the BS part all the time, don't you? And I got a degree, two secondary degrees in business economics, which is not really math. It was understanding supply and demand, basically, and also regulatory agencies and how regulatory agencies are originally built to regulate an industry, and they end up being the stepchild of the very industry they're regulating. And the Treasury Secretary in this case is proving that the Department of Treasury is not regulating and really doing anything right. It's just going along to get along. And here's Janet Yellen now admitting in this Wolf Blitzer interview how she got it so screwed up.
Look, I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices, and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't, at the time, didn't fully understand. But we recognize that now. The Federal Reserve is taking the steps that it needs to take. It's up to them to decide what to do.
Yeah, we're going to lay it on the Federal Reserve now if it's a screw-up. And Biden has said, I'm not going to mess with the Reserve yet. He held a meeting with the head of the Federal Reserve yesterday. We don't know what they talked about, but he said, I'm not messing with them. Going to let them do it. In other words, they're going to have to bite the bullet, not him. And it's never Biden's fault. And Yellen making that statement, that very statement, Tennessee Congressman Dave Kustoff, Republican, on Fox with Maria Bartiromo, responded what Yellen just said. I was wrong.
I'm really disappointed in Janet Yellen because she is much smarter than that. And she came with other administration officials to advocate for this stimulus, the $1.9 trillion bill in March, for the transportation, the infrastructure bill in November. And she knew the inflationary pressures that would result. Lawrence Summers told her. I asked her about that in the committee. And it's almost like she's become a political hack. And I'm sorry to say
that. Was this all politics? I mean, you know, she was the chairman of the Federal Reserve. I mean, she knows the economy. She knows inflation. Was it just politics? She got into the White House and thought she needed to go with this narrative?
She's very smart. She's educated, as you said, been chairman of the Federal Reserve. She knew the challenges, and she let the administration hacks, those political people in the White House, push her to say those things.
Well, more than that, as he said in the beginning, she herself is a hack. She doesn't have the, and I wouldn't expect her to unless she's transgender, have the cojones to stand up and say, no, I was told the wrong information. I sold it to you, and it was wrong for me to do that because obviously I'm smart enough to know this stuff would happen. Larry Glaser is with the Mayflower Investment Group, and listen to how he predicts things are going to go.
As bad as gas prices are, the question we keep asking ourselves is there a breaking point? Is there a point where the consumer starts to buckle here, where we see that demand destruction that everybody's worried about? And, you know, in Europe, overnight, we saw their inflation, and it is much more problematic there. But that doesn't hide from the fact that we've got our own issues here. And look, it's summer driving season, the official start to summer, gas up 50% or more in most markets. And again, people are using credit cards to finance it. The personal savings rate is back to financial crisis levels. That's how they're affording it. They're borrowing from the future. And I tell you what, Cheryl, it's a for now conversation because come the fall, if gas prices are at these levels, we're going to have a real problem.
Yeah, it's going to get worse is what he's saying. And the inflation rate at 8%+ right now, it's actually higher than that. Your individual costs are higher. You're paying 30% more for the various meats, eggs, whatever. Overall, they say 8%, and that's going to go higher. And then you've got on CNN at the same time, Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, who works under Yellen, must also be very smart as well, right? Wally Adeniyamo, I think, or something like that. He was asked, should the Biden administration listen to warnings on inflation from people like economist Larry Summers, saying that no one could see the war in Ukraine, there will be global supply problems, in adding, quote, the most important lesson we've learned here is that we got to do exactly what we've done since the beginning of this administration, which is everything we can to deal with the challenges the American people face. But we're not. We're not. And when they all try to get around and say, well, we couldn't see Ukraine coming. I understand that. We couldn't see this coming. That we did see on day one, Joe Biden sign. Shut down the Keystone Pipeline, shut down all the federal leases for oil and gas drilling. Then later recently decided, oh, okay, let's open them up. But the Interior Department shut them down for interior concerns about some snail or who knows what reason environmentalists ran forward. They have been trying to force into living without fossil fuel. You know how much energy is generated by nuclear and energy and nuclear facilities and wind farms? 6 to 8%. 6 to 8%. No more than 10. No more than 8, actually. We're not ready to move out of fossil fuels. Isn't it smarter to have a thing, everything in place so you can move out before you suddenly yank the rug out from everybody? Oh, that would be actually being an economist that is doing something right for the country. Biden's plan, well, we'll raise corporate taxes. That'll stop inflation. The hell it will. It'll be passed on to you. Do you think I'm angry now? And I try not to yell on here. I really do. But I'm probably going to lose it again in the next segment when I tell you what the Marines are doing. And what Top Gun, something Top Gun did. That new movie out, I'll tell you about it coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the movie Top Gun is out, Top Gun 2, or Top Gun Maverick, it's called. My grandson went to see it, 16 years of age, said, best movie I've ever seen. One of the few movies he's seen. He never saw the original. You don't have to see the original to appreciate this one, I'm told. The only thing he noted that he had apparently seen some previews or something, maybe he did watch it on, I don't think he's actually seen the original, but he did note that Tom Cruise seems so young all the time. He said, how does he do it? And I said, look at me. And those of you watching right now on Rumble.com, you can see how young I still look, huh? See? Some could say it's plastic surgery. Some could say you just have good genes. Some could just say you're putting too much Vaseline on the lens to make yourself look better or distorted or something. Whatever. So here's what happened with Top Gun. They were not allowed to release it. The Chinese sponsorship was withdrawn. It was going to be supposedly originally co-financed by China's Tencent. That certainly would have provided a lucrative theatrical release in China, where Tom Cruise is very popular. But according to the Wall Street Journal, Tencent withdrew from the movie because the story was too pro-American. My God, it's American fighter jet pilots. Of course, it's a pro-American American movie. Would the Chinese not do the same if they were doing a Red China Top Gun? Of course they would. Would I expect them to acquiesce to us? No sense asking. They are not going to. But we do. And in fact, Senator Tom Cruise had put forward back in 2020 a zero tolerance for Hollywood studios that willingly censor movies just to please the Chinese communists. He said, what are we saying to the world this time around? Or at least he did in 2020. That Maverick is afraid of the Chinese communist? Well, here's what happened this time. Since Tencent withdrew, some of the folks that were watching the original Top Gun back in 2020 noted that the Taiwanese flag was emblem and Japanese flag patches on Tom Cruise's iconic jacket were no longer there. They'd been digitally erased. So to make it available for the Chinese and allowable, this time they did it without those patches on the jacket. Then when Tencent withdrew, they're back on. Good. Put Taiwan and China back on Tom Cruise's jacket, which they've done. Meanwhile, the Biden administration, corporate media, and everybody else going woke the first day of what's deemed Pride Month. Biden kicking it off today, saying that we reaffirm our belief that the LGBTQI plus rights are human rights. Okay, I'm for protecting everybody's rights. Maybe a standard I don't believe in, I don't live, but I'll let God be the judge on it. But he failed to match the super woke technology or terminology that the Canadian Prime Minister did, because he said 2SLGBTQQIA plus people. That acronym includes two-spirit, questioning, and asexual. Biden didn't mention those. He's going to have to go back and amend that statement. I'm sure he will, don't you? And what did the Marine Corps do that absolutely sent me over there? They went woke, too. They went woke on the first day of Pride. They had an image saying, and we take pride in recognizing, honoring contribution of our LGBTQ service members. And in the statement, they had a Marine helmet with a band of bullets around it, and the bullets are in various colors, six of them, different colors, creating a rainbow. Some of the people writing in said, is this satire? Another one said, I've seen it all. Focus on building warriors, less about social BS. I agree. Had a Marine who just recently got off active duty said, you would not recognize the Marines of today. They're not doing what they should be. I see why. But let me share this with you in the end here. Actor Mark Wahlberg, 50 years of age, sent a message to his son this morning. Good morning from Europe. Just got down on my hands and knees to express my gratitude on this beautiful day. And congrats to my son, Michael, on making his confirmation. All the young people out there who were confirmed and taking their relationship with the Lord into their adulthood, what a commitment you guys have made. I like Mark Wahlberg even more than I did. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.